Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's HIGHWAY.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
You know, I came a little bit earlier, and you know, often with balancing sound and getting the instruments to all be in the same key and get the rhythm and words, sometimes it looks easier than it really is. And sometimes there's a frustration in that. But even when the olive is broken, the oil flows out. And I felt just such a sweet sense of it's all about you, Jesus. Good to be reminded that He is at the center of it all. And if that's the only reason we came together to worship this morning, that would be a good reason. But there's another good reason, and that is the gospel is really good news. It's good news that changed our lives, and it's got the capacity to change lives around us. And we've been looking over the month of August at four pillars of the new covenant, four pillars of the gospel. Firstly, we saw that if we don't understand the covenants and the flow of covenants through the scripture, we don't get the Bible. Secondly, we saw if we don't get and understand our righteousness, we don't get what the good news is all about. And then last week we saw that if we don't get and understand our identity, us in Him and Him in us, we don't fully appreciate our purpose that He's given us. So this morning I'm wrapping up the series with the last of those. If we don't understand our authority to reign, we will not see the kingdom of God invade our world. If we don't understand our authority to reign, we're not going to see the kingdom of God invading our world. So, are you ready for the last installment? We are putting these on DVD. We'd like to package them to use in the future with new people coming into the church. Because in these four teachings, we're making very clear our understanding. As we've grown in our understanding, this is not just rehearsed and recycled words from 5 years ago. As it's lived in us and produced life, we wanted to capture it and use it to bring people to maturity in the gospel. Can you say amen? Wonderful. And we're going to take up the morning offering. I'd like you also, if you don't have cash with you, if you give by way of the internet, if you could please just take your hand and closed, symbolizing the giving of finances. Because believe it or not, money doesn't fall out of heaven as we'd love it to pay our bills. We pay the bills for what our community needs where we are here on the highway. And we don't use Malachi 5 to make people, chapter 4 to make people feel guilty and that God's wrath is going to be on them, because we don't believe that when we correctly divide the covenants. But we do believe in the Malachi blessing and the open heavens over our lives. And at the end of each month, we come to the church and say, we want to make our need known, because every little bit helps. And everyone's giving, everyone's faith means we pay the bills at the end of the month. And that's good for us. Currently, Nita's just informed me we're standing at about 50% of our bills paid for this month. And now we're going to trust God for a miracle. Because I know James is going to stand up next Sunday and say, hallelujah. Answer to prayer. Can you agree with me? Lord, right now we thank you that in our giving we are partnering. We are partnering and we are co-laboring together with the gospel in this place. Lord, this represents our time, our energy, and our effort. And we thank you that it goes towards this gospel through this ministry into this nation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to be looking at this last pillar of the new covenant, understanding our authority to reign. And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, last week we looked at us in Christ and Christ in us, and we looked around Romans 5. But in the middle of Romans chapter 5, there's this verse, and 17 says, "For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned," say death reigned, didn't do anything wrong to get that, but death reigned through that one man, "how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace," that's what we've been talking about in the gospel, an abundant provision of grace, "and the gift of righteousness," say the gift of righteousness, "reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." So in your list of comparisons between first Adam and last Adam, here is one to add today. In first Adam, our authority was lost, but in second Adam, in last Adam, Christ, we reign in life. You see, if we're not reigning in life, like this promises those who have got grace and understood righteousness, who've received it, if we're not reigning in life, then life is going to reign over us. Now that gives reign on your parade a whole new meaning. Who's reigning on your parade? We call to reign in life, but are we reigning in life, or is life reigning over us? See, we got the gospel. Thank God we got the gospel, because in the gospel we got out of the red. You know, that's an accounting term, getting out of the red, getting out of debt. You're out of the red, and in the black means you're in surplus. When we heard the gospel, it took some of us a bit of time to have our minds renewed to get out of the red. And that's a good thing. Take up your cross and follow me. That's getting out of the red. But getting into the resurrection is moving into the black. It's moving into abundance. It's moving into excess. And it's not good enough just to get out the red. We've got to get into the black. We got to reign in life. All life is going to reign over us. And how do we do it? It's by receiving this abundance of grace. He says, how much more? There's the comparison. How much more? If in first Adam you got what you didn't deserve, how much more do you get in last Adam what you don't deserve? By receiving an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Can you say amen? So we want to understand how to reign in life. And this is why we want to speak on the subject of authority. If I just come to you, Anne, and I say, "Anne, here's authority." And you go, "Yay, I've got authority. I mean, authority for what? You see, amen, brother, do you believe you've been given authority? Yes, hallelujah. Did Jesus give you authority? Yes, amen. Why? What's it for? It's to reign in life. That's what authority is for. So we want to just look at the subject a little bit, and we'll come back to the scripture. Because power and authority are two different things. Power is the ability of a Mack truck to stop an oncoming car just by sheer power. Authority is the policeman standing up and putting his white glove up. Authority is different to power. Authority means behind that glove, there's a military, a police force, and all the rest. A navy, and that's authority. There's a difference between power and authority. We've been given power in the Holy Spirit gifting, but we've been given authority by Jesus. But authority for what? I believe we're going to see it's authority to reign in life. Because in the kingdom which Jesus said he once established, in the kingdom there are principles. It operates according to principles. But we need a revelation from God's word what those principles are and what they say about what our life should be like so that we can enforce them. So authority is for a reason. Four things quickly about authority. They'll come up quickly if you're making notes. If you're the audible type of person, this will help you. Authority was given. Authority was lost. Authority was reclaimed, and authority was delegated. Authority was given when God said, go and subdue the earth, rule over it, because the earth was fallen, Satan had been cast out of heaven, and a beachhead was established in Eden, and it was Adam's mandate to establish Eden-like communities of worship all over the planet as God repopulated with people who were walking in faith and trust in him. The commission was given. The commission was lost when man came into agreement, not with God's word, but demonic lies about God, and death came to the creation. Authority is reclaimed through a series of covenants that God points towards a Messiah who would come and defeat Satan. In the temptation in the wilderness, the devil said to Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you all these kingdoms. Because he had the legal title deed to them. Jesus was operating under the authority of his Father, delegated authority, but there was an authority in a sense that principalities and powers had over the minds of first Adam's creation. Jesus had to go and reclaim this. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest. And then we see he delegates. He delegates in his earthly life that which he was operating under, but then he delegated at the end of his life when he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, go therefore. And pass on the good news that there's a kingdom that's going to be established. It was the same mandate that was given to man in the beginning to populate the world with those in right relationship to the king. That the king would rule through them in a loving relationship of intimacy where they would hear him and operate in him. So that's my message today. The kingdom of God is here, but it operates according to spiritual laws. But we need a revelation from God's word what those spiritual laws are so that we know what they say about us and we know what to enforce. Can you see why we need to hear the gospel over and over again? Because as we hear the gospel, our minds are renewed to know and to get revelation what those principles are and how to enforce them. If I don't understand the principle of righteousness, I won't see the deficit in the world, the sin consciousness, the guilt consciousness out there in secular and religious mindsets. I won't have the authority to go or the conviction because I've had no revelation. When I say, I'm not settling for that and I'm not letting you settle for that, there's a new way to relate to God. Or when people are living below the breadline in poverty, that's not God's perfect plan for them. It's a result of a fallen economic social system. But God's mind is different about it. And I need to find out what God's mind is so that I can come into agreement. Adam lost his authority because he came into agreement with a lie. Jesus refused to come into agreement with lies. And that's why he conquered hell and death through his perfect love, life, his sinless blood, and his resurrection from the dead. And took the keys of hell and death and said, all authority under heaven and earth is given to me. Go. That was the Great Commission. That was the authority that is vested and given to us. So I want to look just quickly at three things. I'm here today, church, with a word on my heart to say, thank God for righteousness. Thank God for the new covenant, the superior covenant. Thank God that we are in Christ. But you have been given authority. Jesus has given you authority. Not just the person next to you or somebody you know. You have been given authority. Someone who has received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness that we've been talking about and unpacking. This is now for the purpose that you hear the Father say, I give you authority to reign in life. Man, church, we got to look like the most happy, joyful, blessed people on the planet. First of all, well, let's just look at these three things quickly. Adam was wired for faith. This picture we have in Genesis wasn't just about obey and disobey because you got a free will. He knew he had a free will, but he was wired to trust God's word above every other word. And he could walk in that relationship, and how different it would have been. Imagine he said to his wife, you know, Eve, God cares so much about us. He loves us so much that he's told us to stay away from this and that. We can have everything else, but not that, because he knows that's not good for us. And Eve came back and said, that's so good to know our Father's for us and not against us. And he wouldn't keep any good thing from us. So that can't be good for us. Because they had a free will. It's built into being in the image of God. But God has got a capacity to understand good and evil. It wasn't in the wiring of man to live in the knowledge of good and evil. It was in the capacity of man, in our wiring, to live in faith and trust. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Faith that says, my God's not holding any good thing from me. His purposes are good for my life. He's loving and kind. And I'm going to trust what he says. And I'm not going to believe the lie to the contrary that says God's holding out on me. I'm not going to believe the lie on the contrary that says, if you don't have that, life's not worth living. So, you know, it doesn't matter that God says don't, do. I'm going to walk in trust. It wasn't just an obedience of obey and disobey God. It wasn't Adam, and it wasn't an obedience relationship. It was a trust relationship that he had. Authority was lost. He came into agreement and lost his nature subduing authority. Lost the capacity to repopulate the planet with Eden-like worship communities that were walking in faith and love to the Father. Lost that right and privilege. We would have wrote the end of the chapter 3 in Genesis. But God's redemptive plan kicked into place. And covenant after covenant after covenant, he reiterated that he wasn't finished with planet Earth. He was going to still repopulate this planet with worshiping, trusting sons and daughters. Secondly, Jesus came to teach and to demonstrate faith. You see, in having authority restored to us, we need to exercise it. We need to know what those kingdom principles say about our life, but we need faith to enforce them, to walk in them, to take back some stuff that's been stolen from us. That takes faith. A faith relationship of trust and a faith agreement that says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Jesus came to demonstrate and teach the life that Adam was supposed to live, but fell from. Jesus comes to teach. So a lot of his teaching is about a mustard seed. If you have faith like a mustard seed. A lot of his teaching is around faith. And also, he creates object lessons where he can show and demonstrate. Hold up to the world a display board. Like the Syrophoenician woman who said, Jesus, heal my daughter. And Jesus says, it's not yet your time. I'm here for the house of Israel. Your time's coming. But she wasn't going to wait. She reached into the future and said, but just a few of the crumbs that fall off the table. And Jesus stopped in his tracks and said, that is the faith I'm looking for. When the Roman centurion's son needed healing, and all he could do was say to Jesus, you don't even have to come into my house. Just speak the word, and my son will be healed. And Jesus said, that's the faith I'm looking for. Jesus was creating little pictures and little cameos of faith that would be taught and retaught to each successive generation. Blind Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road crying out. Jesus says, do you believe? He's healed. Your faith has healed you. A woman comes pressing through the crowd, quietly, undetected by those around her. Jesus says to her, your faith healed you. What was it about this faith? Because these things are all different. There's no common one size fits all in the operations of faith. But faith is just that simple knowing I've heard in my spirit a word from God, and I'm going to move in it because I trust the one from whom it came, and I'm going to come to church and have people pray for me for that Sunday when I didn't feel like it. Not that God only heals here, but he certainly should be healing here. We should see the message followed by signs and wonders. So Jesus came to teach it, to demonstrate it. And remember this, Jesus lived with the same limitations that you and I do. He wasn't floating 3 inches off the floor in the morning with a halo. He lived also having been robbed of authority. He also lived in such a way that he would be the same as those who followed him. He had purposely limited himself to what his followers would be like, who could hear the Father speak, move in the Holy Spirit, and see the same works he did and even greater works than these. If Jesus was doing that as God on earth, then it's a disadvantage and it's an unfulfilled expectation. But if he was doing it as a man, without sin, but as a man, then those who followed him, in the same way Jesus said, I only do what I hear my Father say. I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father doing. Jesus would be walking through a crowd and he would, in his spirit, he'd start discerning God saying something or showing him a picture of something. And he'd go out of his normal routine and go and pray for one individual. Being led, only doing what I hear the Father, seeing and hearing. Setting up object lessons. Because Jesus came to teach and demonstrate faith. Because without this ability to operate in faith, all we are left with is rules and regulations. Adam wasn't designed to live by rules and regulations. He was designed to trust God and do what God said he must do. And you and I are no different. Right now, I'm telling you, God wants you to reign in some area of your life that you're being reigned over. God wants me to reign in some areas where I'm being reigned over. And to step out and find out and get revelation of what that looks like and how it applies to my life is one thing. Faith is going to be required to take it and step out. Faith that hears and sees and does only that. And then thirdly, we are called to live by faith. Galatians 2 verse 20 says it so well. See, we're not called to live by the faith of Paul. We're called to live by the faith of Jesus. But Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Here he's expounding a life principle. You were died, you co-dead, co-buried, co-resurrected with Jesus at the cross. At the cross, you got out of the red. But now you are co-resurrected, co-ascended, and co-seated in heavenly places. You're moving into a new lifestyle, and you're living by the faith of Jesus Christ. Christ in you, and you in Christ. This is a whole new lifestyle. Jesus came to model. Jesus came to show us. And Paul says, I'm living by his faith. Which is both his faith in me and my faith in him. What is this faith? Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6, for without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, this is what faith is all about. It's a substance of the thing hoped for. It's not that faith is anti-intellectualism or anti what's visible. It's just superior to intellectualism and what's visible. It's got its faith in a superior realm, the invisible realm, and it's got a title deed for the thing that's hoped for. If it was seen, it wouldn't be hope. If it was evidenced, it wouldn't be unseen. And that's where faith operates, in the realm of being the title deed for what's hoped for and the evidence of what's not seen. I mean, we were in Australia a few years ago. They got such an efficient pizza system there. You're driving in your car, you order the pizza, you arrive at the pizzeria, you walk through, you swipe your credit card, a slip comes out with a number on it. Above you, there's a monitor with numbers, with names, with a pizza and a little clock that says 5, 4, 3, 2. And when it says 1, lo and behold, a man in white with a white hat walks around the back and he walks and he puts the boxes down and he takes your number. It's just so efficient. Now that little story tells us a whole lot about faith. Faith is the substance. It's the number 50 in your hand that says on the monitor when it strikes 50, when the countdown is completed, this is going to match up to what's coming around the corner. You haven't seen it yet. You haven't got it yet. And just because you're hungry doesn't mean it's going to come automatically. You got to have the number. You see, God's kingdom and God's resources don't just appear where there's a need. Just because there's a need somewhere, poverty or sickness or lack or division, just because there's a need doesn't mean God's power and his kingdom authority are just automatically there. They are there because somebody is believing an agreement for God's kingdom to break in and seeking first that kingdom to come, and they've got a number in their hands now because faith is the substance of the thing hoped for and the evidence of the thing unseen. It's got nothing to do about my need. And maybe, let me pause here, as hard as that is to do when I'm on a roll. I think I love grace so much. I'm so convinced about righteousness and being one spirit with the Lord, and as he is, so am I in this world, and I'll never lose my salvation because I couldn't have earned it in the first place. But having said all that, needs aren't met automatically. They're met when we exercise authority. When we determine that because of an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, now I can move out of the red into the black and say, I'm going to reign in life. I'm going to be a conqueror more than an overcomer. And that's what faith is all about. It's just that expectation. It's just that whoever comes to God must believe that he exists and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We come into agreement with his word, what we see and what we hear. And that's why we need revelation about the kingdom. Because if we don't understand the gospel, we don't know what to put our faith in. Faith is the title deed. But authority wasn't just given to us as a thing to have. Authority was given to you to exercise, to enforce God's spiritual kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Man, I tell you, this message, I'm going to buy these DVDs, all four of them, and I'm going to just listen to them over and over until I really, really believe this. Because I don't think that once we know that this is the normal kind of Christianity we're supposed to live, we can go back to anything less or inferior. Reigning in life. How do we get it? As we've already said, Romans 10 verse 17 illustrates us so well. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we get it. We've got to hear the word of God so we know what our benefits are in grace, in the new covenant, in God's opinion of other people. We have to know that it's not God's will that any should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of salvation. We should know. When we get revelation on those things, faith comes to our hearts. And we hold the title deed to take back what we've been robbed of. And I know there's some people here that have been robbed of things. You've been robbed in some area of your life. It's take back time. It's time to say, I'm going to enforce the victory of the new covenant. It's not good enough for me just to know about the victory of the new covenant. I can stand here and admire it for the rest of my life and paint it in different colors and say this and that. But until I'm stepping into it and saying, I want this world to match up with what God said is possible on earth as in heaven, I'm going to agree with that. I'm going to be reigned over. What area of your life are you reigned over? What is reigning over you? You don't have to shout it out. You just have to hear God's word to you now. That's not his will, that thing reign over your life. It's not just a wishy-washy, well, sirrah, sirrah, the way it is, just the way it is. Janet was in a conversation with some of her family this week, talking about someone who's sick, and they're all church people talking and saying, you know, let's pray for healing. And then someone just came up and said, yes, but may God's will be done. And I thought, you know, that sounds very spiritual, but there's something wrong with it. It doesn't need any faith to just say, let God's will be done. You know, it takes faith. It's by his stripes she's healed. And I'm going to stand and believe, as I've done before, and I don't have all the answers, and I've had disappointments, and I've had disillusionment, but I refuse to bring the word of promise down to my experience. I'm going to keep on persevering to get my experience up to the word of God. So this thing of, it's the will, oh, come on, man, let the devil hear that in your life. That thing that's reigning over you, that area of reigning in your life is not just, maybe that's God's will. No, we've got to find out what the kingdom principle is that applies to that, and we've got to exercise the authority that Jesus gave for our lives and for those lives around us. Amen. Sometimes hearing by the word of God. Notice it doesn't say faith comes by once having heard something. What does hearing entail? Current. There's a current sense of Jesus saying, I only do what I see the Father do and say the things I hear him say. There's a hearing the word of God in the present. Paul heard the word of Jesus that said, go to all nations. So off he was to all nations. But then he has a disturbing dream where he feels the Holy Spirit block him from going to Bithynia. But hang on, didn't God's word say go? And now when he tries to go, he gets blocked by the Holy Spirit. I mean, come on, who's confused here? But then he has a dream with a Macedonian crying out to him. And he changes directions and go to Macedonia. So which is right and which is wrong here? I mean, Jesus said go. Now he gets stopped by the Holy Spirit. And then he has a dream from Jesus telling him to go to Macedonia. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's what is God saying to me now? Because his general word is go. But I need a specific word in this situation. And it might look like it's contradicting the general word, but it's not. It's just a different angle of that general word. Abraham hears God say, will you offer up your son? I'm sure after some soul searching and saying, I'm just going to believe God. One year was called the man of faith. Incidentally, all the covenants were made with people of faith. Isn't that interesting? Right up to Jesus. And Abraham must have been shocked to his core to have to take his beautiful little bambino. Can you imagine taking this? Can you imagine taking this little, putting it on a pile of stone and lifting a knife above your head? But he hears a word saying, stop! There's a ram in the thicket. Thicket? God had no intention of child sacrifice. God was seeing the trust and the faith of a man who could also hear in the instant what was the difference between the general word and the specific word. There's times in your life you're going with just a general word because God has shown you. You know, don't forsake the gathering together with other believers and worship and being in an apostolically related house with leaders and ordained leaders, because it's healthy for your spiritual life and spiritual diet. But while you're doing that, God starts putting other little things in your heart. Good works for this and good works for that. Good works. And sometimes those good works mean you're not even here on a particular Sunday. Like I think Denise and Nigel are up at the orphanage today. And that's wonderful. We celebrate with them. We celebrate with taking that water to those thirsty families up there. But there's a general word and there's a specific word. But faith comes. You see, once you've got faith and you hold the title deed, that's the substance of the thing hoped for. Now we have to rely on God and we have to rest in his ability by agreement. Can you say amen? So, say after me, we are blessed. You see, the new covenant has confirmed and assured you that you are blessed. You're living by faith because you're activating what he's got for you. But we're already blessed. But now we need the trigger to pull to see that blessing manifest. So in the area of finances, What is the trigger? Well, I believe one of the triggers is Jesus has given, it'll be given to you, pressed down in good measure. Because knowing you blessed is one thing, and we don't give to be blessed because I'm a blessed person. I'm blessed before God, I'm blessed with my needs met, but I have an opportunity to sow seed where it will produce a harvest. And the Bible's full of that. The New Covenant is strong on this. And as I give in faith, because I've heard a now specific word, as I give in faith, something is released over my life. And there's financial breakthrough. In my marriage, going through a rocky patch, going through challenges, going through... Now, I know Janet's not here this morning. Don't read too much into that. She had a family engagement and opportunity, and I said, let's take it with open arms. But what is the trigger? What is the way to enforce the kingdom principle in that situation of strife and hardship? Oh, you got to go to the Word with Holy Spirit, give me revelation. Is there something I need to be activating here? Is there something I need to be agreeing in heaven on earth? Is this whatever it is? And I know sometimes in unfortunate circumstances, relationships break down beyond repair, and that's just going to be more damaging to sustain that relationship. And there's love and understanding and grace in those cases. But we don't have to give up too quickly either. We can take back what's been started. We can fight one more round. We can say, I can love more, because husbands love your wife. I can be more submitted. Wives, submit to your husband. As we walk in that relationship of being submitted to one another, but an attitude of supporting the head and the neck doing its work and the head doing its work, we release kingdom ability, kingdom resource. It's not just going to arrive at the pizza shop. Just because you're hungry standing outside a pizza shop doesn't mean it's going to land in your lap. You are going to get hold of a title deed to your promise. In your business, don't forget, Deuteronomy 18:18 says, don't forget it's God who gives you the power to make wealth. God gives you that ability and that power. But we need the title deed. We get the title deed when we are incubating and getting revelation of God's promise so that faith can show its number in my hand. Then the countdown starts. We are blessed. But we need to trigger it by enforcing kingdom principles in our marriage, our business, our finances, our health. Because we have an enemy who doesn't want us to walk by faith. I'll finish with this. Spoke about Adam was wired to be a man of faith. Jesus came and showed us, and now we're called to live it. Let me tell you, even Jesus said, will the Son of Man find faith when he returns to the earth? He didn't just say that haphazardly. He looked around and he thought, is this just going to be a reproduction of Adam's? Of people who just keep doubting and questioning God's word? Or are there going to be people who actually believe what they hear? And that believing will change everything about their life. Jesus said, you have an enemy that goes around like a prowling lion. He doesn't want you to live by faith. When your finances are being attacked, you know it's being attacked. Your faith. When your health is being attacked, I know I lay in bed with the flu for a week. I was so irritated because I got lots of faith to pray for other people. I was just battling with my own health. And as I was lying there, it was like, man, you know what's under attack right now in my life? It's my faith. When your marriage is under attack, you know what's under attack? Your faith is under attack. Because it's your faith that will take hold of the authority and step out and see things changed. Driving Dundee in my car, aircon packs up. The heater, in fact, but the aircon, the fan. Then the radiator goes into the red. Then the power steering stops working. Now, how do you drive a car with no power steering, with the heat gauge in the red and no electric fan blowing? With difficulty, thank you, yes. After a long story, pulling off and getting to the garage, the whole problem was nothing to do with the radiator, nothing to do with the air conditioner, nothing to do with the power steering. It was a little bearing this size. I kid you not, this size. In the water pump that it seized. So the belt that drives all these other belts in the under that hood, you know, it's like just belts, you know. Once you get in there, it's like Spaghetti Junction. It's all these belts running. But there's this one bearing from the engine through the water pump that drives all these things. There was this one little bearing seized. I said, okay, Lord, my faith is under attack here. It's not your marriage where the problem is. It's not your finances even where the problem is. It's not even necessarily your health where the problem is. Might not even be your business where the problem is. There's this little bearing in your life. And the word over you is you have been destined to reign. And this little bearing, if it seizes, it no longer believes God for the impossible. It no longer agrees for heaven on earth. It no longer takes hold of the revelation of the new covenant and stakes your life on it. In the face of horrendous odds, our lives begin to fall apart, left, right, and center, because there's a little bearing of faith that has gone dry and has seized and is causing a whole lot of trouble. Can I pray for you today? Don't you want to stand up? I want to pray that not only will you be taken out the red, but you will be plunged deep into the blessing, the black zone of abundance. Come on. Black is beautiful. Amen. Give me an amen. Out of the red into the black. Right now, just raise up your hand where you're standing. I want you to hear Jesus' word to you here. All authority has been given to me, Jesus, in heaven, on earth, under the earth, all authority. Now, as those operating as ambassadors of a superior government, you get to take your place to reign in life. Right now, Holy Spirit, would you just bring a deep conviction that where people are being reigned over, come on, you know what that is for you. You know what area that is. You know what bearing has run dry in your life. In Jesus' name, we ask for revelation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ, the gospel, the word of the new covenant. The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness positions you and me to reign. So we say to every obstacle in our way, every mountain, you're going to be made level. Every valley, you're going to be raised up. You crooked roads of unbelief and doubt and fear, you are going to be straightened out. Because we as a people of God today serve notice on unbelief and agreement with the lies of darkness. And we say, Lord, according to your word, may it be done unto us. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Thank you, Lord, for freedom, deliverance, breakthrough, deliverance. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now, many pastors would say to me, Steve, this is the perfect time to get the worship team up and get everybody out of the aisles. I'm not going to do that. You know what I am going to do? Sorry, Terry. I think there are times to do that. But there's a time for you in your heart to say, I'm not going to settle for the status quo. Without anyone laying hands on you, without soft music playing in the background. In your heart, you're saying that bearing of unbelief, I serve notice on you. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. The kingdom operates according to spiritual laws, and I'm going to get revelation from God's word on what they are and what they say my life should look at, and then I'm going to enforce that through the authority that's been given me by faith in Jesus' name. Come on, one last time. Let's just say, thank you, Lord. I believe faith is being birthed in this house. Faith is being established, whatever your need is. And I'm going to dismiss the service, but if you do have an area where you'd like prayer, healing, financial. You can stay behind. They'll ask some of the leaders to come and join you on my left-hand side here. Come and just stand here and someone will come out and pray with you. So we do want to pray for people, but have a wonderful afternoon and God bless you.